Welcome to the jungle. I am Jim Rome. The program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I began the program by doing something that I never did, then I always did, then I stopped doing, and then I did again. We talked Jacksonville Jaguar football. Jalen Ramsey asking for a trade, and I understand why he is. One, they're terrible. Two, he knows they're not going to be good anytime soon. Three, he does not like his contractual situation. And four, he made it very clear, this is not about the town. This is not about the fans. It is what it is. It's a bad situation. I don't want to be here. Trade me. He said, in the meantime, until they trade me, I am here, and I've got a responsibility, and I'll be ready to play on Thursday night. I'll be doing everything I'm supposed to do, but I want out. And I understand why. And then, of course, that elicited the proverbial, hey, Rome, I'm sick and tired of these spoiled athletes. If I ever pulled that crap at my job, I wouldn't have a job. I've taken that phone call now, I think, for 25 years. Yeah, I know. And if I pulled that crap at my job, I wouldn't have a job either. We are replaceable. Jalen Ramsey, not so much. 1-800-636-8686. All right, let's do this. Let's move on to the Jets. Now, if you thought that the New York Jets were done losing to Cleveland on Monday, then you do not know the New York Jets. Because if there's a way to still be losing a Monday night game on a Wednesday morning, the New York Jets will find it. Sure, they were embarrassed at home in primetime. Yes, their offensive mastermind was exposed in that game. Yes, their self-aggrandizing defensive coordinator was humiliated in prime time in front of all of his peers and the rest of the world. But you know what? That can happen. That can happen to any team at any time. Only the Jets, though, could take this to a new level by benching their Pro Bowl safety, Jamal Adams, and then having that spill over into social media, allegedly. Here is what we do know happened on Monday night. In the fourth quarter, Adams picked up penalties on back-to-back plays, offsides, and encroachment. He was benched for the final five plays of that game. A nationally televised game. They benched him for the final five plays. Because that's cool, and that's smart. That's what you want to do. Bench your best player. I just had a flashback to bench the salt.
Bench the salt.
Bench your best player.
Bench the salt.
Let's talk about what's going on here. We're talking about Jamal Adams, a guy who had missed a grand total of 14 of nearly 2,300 career snaps that he could have played in his career. So what I'm saying is that guy does not come off the field ever and takes a lot of pride in that fact. It doesn't matter how much his team is losing by. It doesn't matter how humiliating the loss. This guy wants to be out there battling in a game that's as violent as football and playing the game as physically as Jamal Adams does. He's missed 14 plays, but you're going to bench him. And not only bench him, but according to Adams, not explain why you're benching him.
You know, obviously, man, I don't really, know why or what was the reason. Obviously, I made a penalty, you know, usually, and, you know, they took me out. So I'm not upset. I am upset that I wanted to finish the game, but I obviously didn't finish the game. But it is what it is. I made a bonehead mistake. I anticipated wrong, like I said. And I mean, one thing about me, you know, you're talking, I'm always finished the game regardless. It doesn't matter what's going on. I'm out there to hunt, and that's just how I am.
I mean, how much worse does it look and sound when you hear that from him on WFAN? I don't know what's dumber. Benching that guy or not explaining why you benched that guy. Awesome. Way to compound an already extremely embarrassing and humiliating loss, fellas. Couldn't have found that any worse. Right when you think you can't look any worse than you do, you raise the bar even higher. I mean, that really is amazing. Benching your best player in a primetime game with the entire world watching. The entire team and organization have already been humiliated. So why don't we just single out our best player and humiliate him even further before calling it a night? Good call. Really, really good call. No, great call. You know what's stupid? Your D coordinator taking a run at Odell Beckham. That's stupid. Taking a run at your best player on the opposing offense is moronic.
Odell who?
But taking a run at the best player on your own defense is galaxy brain. Moronic. I mean, exactly what kind of a message are you looking to send other than some fake tough guy message? Because that's the kind of thing that's going to have a ripple effect. And it seems like that ripple effect includes the bio on Adam's Twitter account. According to NFL.com, the bio that previously read, and I quote, former LSU All-American defensive back for the New York Jets. That's how it used to read. Now if you look at it, it reads, quote, let the Lord fight your battles. He hasn't lost one yet. In other words, he stripped out the reference to the New York Jets. It's out of his bio. And I can't say I blame this guy on any level. Would you want to be associated with the New York Jets right about now? I sure as hell wouldn't. If I played for the New York Jets, I would not tell anybody. If I played for the New York Jets right now, I wouldn't want anybody to know. This is a guy who suffered through some really crappy times with the Jets, but he stuck by them. Then you go out of your way to humiliate and embarrass him like that so you can send a message? And now he doesn't want to stick by them, and I get that. I wouldn't want anybody to know that I played for the Jets if they did me like that. So, you know, this guy's walking around like, hey, aren't you Jamal Adams? Hey, you're Jamal Adams from the Jets. Nope, not me. Come on, man. You're Jamal Adams from the Jets. Of course you are. Nope, not me. Jamal, look, man, check my Twitter bio. Check my Twitter feed. That's not me. Two games into the season, why don't we do a quick summary of how things are going for Adam Gase and Greg Williams? You lose the first two games of the season in extremely embarrassing fashion. Check. You lose your starting quarterback to the kissing disease. Check. There's an update on that, which I'll get to. You lose your backup quarterback to a gruesome leg injury. Check. You lose your Pro Bowl safety to an idiotic power move. Check. You let that idiotic power move be the basis for another idiotic distraction and controversy. Check. Good job. Great effort. Good job. Good effort, fellas. How do you do that guy like that? Because he committed a couple of penalties? You're going to bench Jamal Adams.
Bench the salt.
In prime time. Meantime, Rick Cimini on Twitter tweets, regarding Darnold, Gase said it's the doctor's call. Quote, I mean, this is something that's serious. If his spleen bursts, then we have a problem. End quote. Hashtag Jets. All right, so breaking news. In his press conference today, the genius, the mastermind, Adam Gase, said of Darnold, quote, I mean, this is something that's serious. If his spleen bursts, then we have a problem. End quote. I'll tell you what, I was pretty tough on that guy yesterday. Crazy eyes? I was tough on him yesterday, but you know what? I take it all back. I wasn't giving this guy enough credit. He is a mastermind. After all, quote, if his spleen bursts, then we have a problem. If his spleen bursts, then we have a problem. That's an all-time take right there. Let me tell you something about this mastermind. When I hear this guy breaking down a spleen bursting like that, man, I am back on the Gase train. If he realizes that an exploding spleen is, quote, a problem, then maybe he knew exactly what he was doing by benching his best player on national TV in a blowout for committing a penalty.
Bench the salt.
I take it back, crazy eyes. Man, you do know exactly what the hell you're doing. If our quarterback explodes his spleen, then we have a problem. Good take, coach. Good take. That's your mastermind. That's your genius. And that's why Sam Darnold is not playing right now. If an enlarged spleen becomes a spleen that explodes, then we have a problem. Right. And benching your best player who never comes off the field for any reason whatsoever after committing a couple of penalties is also a problem.
Bench the salt.
He took his team out of his bio. Hey, Jamal Adams, can I have your autograph? You're a New York Jet. The hell I am. Jamal, I saw you. Hey, check my Twitter feed, all right? I don't play for the Jets. You got the wrong guy, yo. He's so passive-aggressive. He took the Jets out. Hey, Rome. Hey, Rome, if I took out who I work for in my bio, I wouldn't have a bio. I wouldn't have a job. Right. I know. I know. I should try that. I wonder how that would go. I wonder if I took out that I work for CBS and all my Twitter and Instagram and all my platforms, how that would go. I'd say how that would go. Nobody would even know. But if Jamal Adams does it, we know. It's news. And if Sam Darnold explodes his spleen, then they have a problem. Yeah, thanks, Adam.
It's lit!
It's writ! Gave some reaction to the Jalen Ramsey take, too, really quickly. Rome, I am tired of all this crap being spewed about what Jalen is teaching the youth, or my job this, or my job that. The message the youth should get is know your own worth and don't settle when you're told you're worth by somebody else. And your job, guess what? If you feel you're losing your job, you look for other work. Then you quit and you leave and you go someplace else. Y'all need to stop pretending. You don't. Out. Dusty in Canada. At Mock Moda tweets, sometimes it's not about money or being on a winning team. It's about signed Dasmati. Dasmati jumps the day. Another day, another take from one of you clones about Dasmati leaving us to go work in city government. Dasmati jumps the day, Dasmati jumps the week, Dasmati jumps the month, Dasmati jumps the year, Dasmati jumps the decade. A decade from now, when I'm just humming along beautifully and this show is still as strong as ever, Dasmati will be somewhere with a fake hard hat on, cutting another ribbon, opening up another playground, saying, I did the right thing. Where are you now? How you like me now, Jim Rome? Dear Jim, Five Guys, why do their places or prices fluctuate on a daily basis? Is this a restaurant or the commodities futures market? Unworth spending $20 for a fast food meal. Thanks. Drew in West LA. I didn't know that, Drew. Do their prices fluctuate? Are they like pork bellies and other commodities? Is it like Bitcoin and crypto? I don't know, Drew. I've never been to a Five Guys, honestly. This tweet says, I love my vegan life. I am fine only eating plants. The Hershey plant, the Nestle's plant, and the Hostess plant. Signed, Adelephant.
Hello, it's me.
Denlesk, like, you're not really good at anything, but you're better than that. Thankfully, I've got an interview right now. Bruce Feldman joins me when we come back. Better sleep can benefit basically anybody at all. This is why Casper created Sleptember. You heard that right. Sleptember. An entire month dedicated to rest and relaxation. From outrageously comfortable award-winning mattresses to pillows, sheets, and duvets, Casper is transforming the way we sleep. The Casper mattress is an award-winning balance of comfort and support. Four layers of premium foam are designed to provide pressure relief for all-night comfort. Zoned support is designed to provide extra support to keep your back aligned. With bedding, bed frames, and even a dog bed, Casper has everything you need to build the bed of your dreams. And rest easy with free shipping and free returns. Get a Casper like I did. Try yours for 100 nights, risk-free. Go to Casper.com and use the code ROME and get $100 off towards the purchase of select mattresses. Casper.com, code ROME, get $100 off towards the purchase of select mattresses. Terms and conditions do apply. See Casper.com/terms.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Fired up to do this. Always. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. Let's talk some college football. We are joined right now by a reporter for Fox Sports and FS1. He's the author of The QB, The Making of Modern Quarterbacks. You've got 10th-ranked Utah at USC Friday night, 9 p.m. Eastern on FS1. I want to get into that and all the big action coming up this weekend. We are joined by Bruce Feldman. Bruce, so good to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jim. Always good to be on with you.
You too. Great to have you back. So a huge weekend of college football starting with Utah at USC Friday night in Los Angeles. Bruce, a lot of different storylines on that game. USC already lost their starting quarterback for the season. They're coming off a loss to BYU on Saturday. So where are the Trojans right now as a team?
It's going to be a great question. We're going to find out. I mean, there was so much enthusiasm about how true freshman Keaton Slovis played when they lit up Stanford 2 weeks ago. I think what we saw was a couple of things from that. One, our crew had Stanford week one against Northwestern. They're really banged up. This is not the Stanford team. I think most of us have come to know them in the last decade. I think they're going to be lucky to get bowl eligible. I mean, that same Stanford team that USC whooped, they got blown out by UCF. So take that one, that performance, to some degree with a grain of salt. And then when BYU did some things differently coverage-wise, Slovis really struggled with his decision-making. So how much does the new OC, Graham Harrell, get him settled down? Because now they're going to play a much tougher defense, more athletic defense in Utah. And I think right now this USC team, the whole program just needs some good things to happen because there has been so much pressure and so many of the buzzards swirling around this program about Clay Helton's future. And everything there, I mean, they definitely have some talent. They have a bunch of big-time receivers and some good young players on defense. But there, you wonder about the leadership necessarily in the locker room. Who steps forward in this? And I think we're going to find out a lot because this is a really physical, tough team that Utah's bringing in here. They haven't won in Southern California against USC in over 100 years. So there's that hanging over them. So this is a really interesting matchup to see what we get from both teams.
Utah, top 10. They're 10th ranked. They're at USC Friday night. You mentioned Clay Helton. Bruce Feldman, my guest. So you've got USC AD. Lynn Swann resigned earlier this month, which increased speculation about the future of Clay Helton. Bruce, would you say that Clay Helton is coaching for his job at this moment?
Absolutely. I mean, look, you could say he's been coaching for his job since the start of this season. I think that's true. But I think right now, there is almost no margin for error left because of just the pressure there on him. I think there's a lot of power brokers around USC who have never been all the way in on Clay Helton being the head coach. I think there are people who genuinely like and respect him as a man, and I think all that can be true. I just think there's a lot of people here who are thinking, I'm just not sure this is the right guy for this program to lead them forward. And Lynn Swann, I mean, I know the semantics on it. Lynn Swann was forced out. It was not a good run as an AD. He had no experience in that role, and it showed. And so now the new president at USC is going to make some big changes. And I would imagine any AD who she's going to end up hiring, who they're going to hire there, is going to know that they're probably going to have to make a coaching change. Barring an amazing run that USC would go on, I think it's going to be hard for Clay Helton to convince whatever doubters who are in the decision-making role and have influence there to change their minds about him. And I think this is about as big a must-win as you could get, because if you look at it this way, this is the best team they're going to play in their division, which is not a great division. in college football in the Pac-12 South. If they don't win this game, it's going to be hard to get to win the Pac-12 South title because it would go through Utah. And I think that just puts even more pressure on Clay Helton to get this done.
We're talking to Bruce Feldman. All right, so Bruce, part of the significance of this game is the fact that the pregame show is going to be live from the L.A. Coliseum, and your colleague Reggie Bush is one of the analysts. It's going to mark the first time that he's gone back to the Coliseum since the NCAA ruled the USC had to permanently disassociate from him. What do you think that's going to be like when Reggie goes back to the Coliseum?
Yeah, I think it's going to be really emotional for a lot of people. I mean, for a lot of folks, look, there have been Matt Leinart certainly was a great quarterback there. Matt will be there. He won a Heisman there. You know, Carson Palmer before him also won a Heisman. There's been a lot of great players who play it under Pete Carroll. Reggie Bush was a iconic, he's a USC legend. And I think for the first time coming back, I think it's going to be really interesting to see how much the fan base responds to it. Because I can tell you this, just from working with Reggie the last couple of months, I worked with a bunch of former NFL players and former college stars. I've never been around another former player who elicits the kind of wow and awe from current players the way Reggie Bush does. We go to Big 12 Media Days and you run into players and they look at him on a different level than they look at anybody else. And a lot of these kids were like 4 and 5 years old when Reggie played at USC. So I think there is a mystique to him because of the way he played. He was as close to the human highlight guy as you're going to get in football. I know that's a basketball term, but there was a wow factor with him. And so I think for a lot of fans, especially USC fans who feel like, you know, it's been kind of underwhelming, save for the Sam Darnold moments, you know, of the last 5, 6, 7 years, Reggie Bush represents an excitement that was different. And I think you're going to see a lot of that reflected when people actually get to see him, because quite honestly, a lot of the USC fans and a lot of the USC people even in and around the program feel like the NCAA went way above and beyond what it should have done and how they punished USC. And so I think to many of them, Reggie Bush, you know, it represents something in that light, too, of how the NCAA kind of screwed them.
Bruce Feldman, my guest. So USC, Utah, big night, obviously, a really interesting matchup from a number of different standpoints. Bruce, before I let you go, maybe another topic or two. That Friday night game is followed by a couple of really big games on Saturday, starting with Michigan at Wisconsin. How big is this game for Jim Harbaugh in Michigan?
It's a huge one. If you look at what Michigan's schedule sets up, it gets rough from here. Now, they had their hands full with a pretty good Army team a couple of weeks ago. They had a bye week. The offense has been a little shaky. They've been sloppy with the ball. I think they need to see Shea Patterson, who's the quarterback, who's got a bunch of experience. Now, he's been banged up a little bit. He did not look very sharp. He did not take care of the ball well. They're going to go on the road to play a Wisconsin team that has been dominant, hasn't given up a point yet, but they haven't played anybody. So, if Michigan wins this game, I think we'll start to see Michigan get some momentum. They're going to get their all-conference left tackle, John Runyon, back. That's a big plus for them. That should shore things up. But right now, I think if you're a Michigan fan, you're going, hey, I'm optimistic, but I need to see more from them than I've seen so far. And maybe the bye week will help settle them down, because this is going to be a tough place for them to play against the Wisconsin team that has just looked dominant so far against limited competition.
I would agree, Bruce. I think Michigan has not shown very much, and Wisconsin so far has looked great. They both had 2 weeks to get ready for this one. It's a big one. Bruce, Oklahoma is coming off that 48-14 beatdown over UCLA in the Rose Bowl. If we go back, Bruce, when Lincoln Riley took over for Bob Stoops at Oklahoma, everybody who knew Riley respected him a great deal as an assistant. But is there any way that anybody could have expected the level of success that he's had so far?
No, I think that was a great hire by Bob Stoops and OU. Look, I did a big story this week on The Athletic about the run game. Everybody was skeptical of, Lincoln Riley coming from East Carolina to be the offensive coordinator. They're going to be this pass-happy offense because that's what Mike Leach does. And it seems so counter to what is Oklahoma's DNA. Well, the secret weapon in there is one of Riley's assistants, Bill Biedenboe, the O-line coach, is a co-offensive coordinator. And they have such a physical running game with so many adjustments off it. So you couple that run game with a great collection of receivers that Lincoln Riley's able to get, and obviously all these one transfer quarterback after another. Now there's Jalen Hurts, who's not quite as fast, but he's fast, but not quite as fast as Kyler Murray, but he's a 220-pound physical punishing runner who breaks tackles. It's a lethal combination, especially the way Lincoln Riley calls it, you know, to balance out this run game. I mean, it's been pretty remarkable to see. And this is a team that had to replace four offensive linemen from last year, in addition to the Heisman Trophy winner. And they look every bit as dangerous as they did last year. And now I think the key to this going forward is Riley hires Alex Grinch to come in and be the defensive coordinator and hopefully change the mindset and get them to play really tough defense. And that's been lacking it in Norman, Oklahoma for a while.
Hey Bruce, really quickly, I'd love to get your thoughts on Chip Kelly. He went 3-9 in his first year at UCLA. There were flashes of turning it around, but they're off to an 0-3 start this year. Exactly what's going on with Chip Kelly and UCLA, and how concerned would you be if you're a UCLA fan?
Jim, I think it's a lot of just been such a culture shift from the way things operated under Jim Mora to how Kelly runs things. And I think the reason why they've been sputtering a lot on offense, right now the offensive line has been just off. You know, there's a miss block here, a miss block there. And I think one of the things we're seeing is they don't get a lot of explosive plays, which is one of the things that they were so dangerous when he was at Oregon. So even if a thing is blocked well, maybe it becomes a 20-yard play for UCLA. Well, when they had those dynamic athletes at Oregon, that 20-yard play might be 70. And I think you have people on their heels where right now they're just not that crisp. I don't think they have a great collection of leaders right now in terms of some of the young guys whose maybe personalities aren't ready to rally the troops if things aren't going great. So it's been a little bit of a imperfect storm of just things that are kind of going sideways. I do think it's going to click, but right now they're a really young team and they're really inexperienced, and I think they're just kind of really having some ugly growing pains, and you have a lot of guys who are adapting to a new system at the same time, and I just think the timing is off right now. But I do think at some point this season you'll start to see it click a little bit. But at this point, man, they are struggling, no doubt about it.
It is another big weekend of college football. He's a reporter for Fox Sports and FS1, also an author of The QB, The Making of Modern Quarterbacks. Once again, 10th-ranked Utah at USC Friday night, 9 p.m. Eastern on FS1. Bruce Feldman, my guest. Bruce, great to have you back. Thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
Always a pleasure. You too. Thanks, Jim.
Bruce Feldman joining us. All right, USC and Utah. And Utah is a very physical team, very disciplined team, very skilled team. Kyle Whittingham has had some really good teams at Utah. I think this is the best one he's ever had. And USC right now has got a lot of challenges. I agree with him. I think that Clay Helton is very much coaching for his job. You've got issues surrounding the program. The AD stepped down the last month or so. They got to have that one. And I'm not sure how they get it. When we come back, I've got an open segment for you. I want to talk about Mike Leach and more. I've got Robert Klemko, top of the hour. Martin Truex Jr., the driver of the number 19 car, also coming up next hour. Sunday, it's an NFL on CBS doubleheader. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs open up their 2019 home schedule against Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. Teddy Bridgewater and the Saints head to Seattle for a late afternoon showdown with the Seahawks. A full day of football, starting with JB and the fellas on the NFL Today.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Next time you grab a protein snack, ditch the drinks and bars and grab a bag of Old Trapper beef jerky. tender, tasty, real beef that rocks your craving for a snack that satisfies. Ask for it by name because no other jerky compares. Oh, Trapper, what is your beef? Robert Klemko coming up the top. I've got Martin Truex Jr. coming up next hour. Right now, you can call if you want. Really quickly, this breaking news, because I'm always on top of things as they break. This just in. Carolina Panthers quarterback Cam Newton is injured. Actually, that should not be breaking news on any level at all, but somehow it is. Somehow that is a breaking news story. If you've been paying attention, there is nothing shocking about any NFL quarterback being injured right now. In fact, it's all the rage. It's the most dangerous place in the NFL, being under center or in the quarterback room. Because two games into the season, here is a brief list of the quarterbacks who are already out. Nick Foles, collarbone. Ben Roethlisberger, elbow. Drew Brees, thumb. Sam Darnold, mono. Trevor Siemian, nearly severed leg. Andrew Luck, retired. In other words, it is a bad time to be a franchise quarterback. Yesterday, Panthers GM Marty Herney told the media that Cam Newton aggravated his foot injury in Thursday's game. Really? No way. Man, talk about something coming out left field. I had no idea. You mean that shell of Cam Newton that we saw trying to play through pain on Thursday night was not as healthy as the team made him out to be? You mean the former MVP who was missing wide open receivers? The former MVP who was rushed for a total of minus 2 yards on the season isn't right? Crazy. Are you telling me that when everybody was told after that game Thursday night not to worry about Cam's foot, that it turns out that his foot is jacked up? No way. Amazing. This guy's in a walking boot this morning, and according to reports, is dealing with an aggravation of that midfoot sprain that he suffered in the preseason. And from the sound of it, the team is getting Kyle Allen ready to be the starter this weekend. So, not only was he not as healthy as the team made him out to be, but when asked about Newton's status for Sunday's game against Arizona, Herney said, quote, "I don't know. We'll just take it day by day," end quote. Man, I got to be straight. I am blown away. I am blown away by this. No, I'm not. 2 points right here. Number one, the Panthers are 0-2. And potentially looking at their franchise quarterback being out for a while, which means it's getting really late, really early for the Carolina Panthers this season. And then depending on how the next game or two goes, they better think long and hard about how they handle his return. Because you know he's going to want to get back out there as quickly as he can. He'll want to be out there early, and probably too early. There's not a more tired stat in all football than the one about teams that start 0-2 making the playoffs. Jerome Bettis, being from Detroit, cannot believe how tired and how much talk that gets. But the Panthers were already in a hole, and that hole is getting bigger. And the questions they're possibly facing might not be only about this year, but about next year and the years beyond. This is about protecting Cam Newton now, something they have not done very well. The fact that he's been pummeled over the years is one of the ways they have not protected him. And then there's how that injury situation has been handled since Thursday. Of course the guy was hurt. Everybody who saw that game Thursday night knew that Cam Newton was not himself. Everybody knew he was carrying something or multiple things, which is why I said during the game, I'm no doctor, but I don't need to be one to know this guy's not right. We all knew. Everybody knew. So we need to start having a serious conversation about that right now. Like, I know teams don't want to be honest or upfront about injuries. They want to hide injuries. They don't want to reveal injuries because they do not want the opposition to get any kind of advantage. But when you don't talk about injuries, even after the game, and when you tell everybody that Cam Newton is healthy and he has a game like that, then everybody's going to kill Cam Newton and say he sucks. If the team says he's fine, there's nothing wrong with him, and then he goes out and he plays like that, then everybody rushes in to say he's washed up. He's a shot fighter. And then all the blame goes to him. Like somehow it's his fault. When in fact, he's playing while he's injured. This was my take that night. This guy's not right. This guy's not right. He's hurt. You know he's hurt. And if he's healthy the way the team says he's healthy, then frankly, he's not the player he used to be. But he was hurt. Cam's not going to tell the world how badly hurt he is because that's not the way he's wired. He's going to keep going out there and battling and fighting, even with that bad shoulder and even with a busted foot. But when the team doesn't say anything until 5 days later, that's 5 days that his rep has been getting battered. 5 days that he's been called overrated. 5 days that he's been called washed up. 5 days that he's been called shot, empty. It's not fair to the guy. So as the Panthers start to deal with the injury, they should do something that they have not done before, or not nearly enough of. Protect Cam Newton. Protect this guy in every way possible, on and off the field. I know the guy wants to be out there. But running out there while he's banged up is one thing. But running out there while he's banged up and telling everybody he's not is another. It wasn't a question of whether or not that guy was hurt, but rather how badly. And now both his body and his rep are battered. And the Panthers look like they're circling the drain 2 games in. You know, for who, for what? For who, for what? The guy's out there doing whatever he can when he's not right, and the team's like, oh, he's fine. He's good. Shoulder's fine. Foot's fine. He's fine. Ron Rivera was asked about all this.
Kind of go through when you found out about Cam and what your...
I found out after the game that his foot was sore.
At what point did you talk to Ryan and find out a little bit more information, and how did you guys sort of arrive at the decision that...
Well, for the most part, we got the rest of the information today, and I can tell you no more than what Marty told you, to be honest with you guys.
Ron, did he do physical therapy over the weekend, you know?
To the best of my knowledge, yes, he did. And he was with a trainer for the most part all week.
Do you know if he was around here or Atlanta or some combination?
Well, he was getting his treatment this week.
Did he have to undergo X-ray, MRI?
I don't know all that details as far as that stuff's concerned.
As far as time out, do you know how long?
I have no idea. I have no idea. What he's going to do is he's going to get his treatment, and we'll see how he feels, and we'll adjust it as we go around, we go through it.
Man, that song and dance. That song and dance about the head coach and the star quarterback and the media. Hey, coach, did he undergo an MRI? Hey, coach, were there other tests? I don't know anything about that. The head coach doesn't know anything about whether or not the former MVP franchise quarterback underwent or needs to undergo an MRI. You didn't ask about that? You know nothing about that? Why would I know and why would I ask? Why would I have any concern about the health of my quarterback? I mean, I understand that there is a song and dance that goes on here, but how about I don't want to get into that? How about I really don't want to discuss that right here, but I don't know. I don't know anything about that. Well, you don't talk to your trainers. You don't want to know about the health of your quarterback. You don't want to know whether or not he needs to undergo an MRI. They'll just get around to telling you that when it's time. Like, la la, I don't want to know about Cam. Hey, guys, I don't know any more than you guys know. And as soon as I know, you'll know. Hey, do any of you know if my quarterback needs to undergo an MRI? Can any of you tell me if it's his foot or his shoulder? Because I don't know. Nobody tells me anything. I'm the head coach. When we come back...
I don't know all that.
Robert Klemko joins us. SI NFL columnist and one of the best at what he does. We're talking Antonio Brown with him when we come back.